your messaging is off. You're throwing noodles at the wall. Some of them are sticking. Most of them are falling because there's a lot of buyer confusion on what you actually do. Marketing doesn't equal sales. Neither of them equal branding. Do you agree or disagree with me that before you even get to the marketing, before you can even get to the sales, before you can even get to the point of actually sharing the message with your audience, you have to get that messaging down? They go straight into the marketing. They go straight into the advertising. They go straight into the social media. And then they wonder why it falls flat because they have no core central message. They have no consistent in what they're sharing. I'm ready to give you my money. You seem kind of cool, but I don't have the slightest fucking idea what you're actually selling to me.
For small businesses, I call that your authority X factor. Mm. Understanding what makes you unique in the space. I was the person behind a CEO when my company was acquired. I decided I'm going to do this myself this time. So instead of being that person helping somebody else accomplish their goals, I became the person helping multiple people accomplish their goals, but also accomplishing my own.
Welcome to the Branding Laboratory, where we break down what it actually takes to build something real and not just something that looks good on your social media presence. I'm your host, Devo, and in every single episode, we are actually getting into real conversations, real challenges, and the kind of thinking that actually moves things forward with your brand, with your business, with your life. So whether it's your first time here or you've been riding with me for a while, thank you. I'm glad you made it back. Let's get into this. So if your marketing is technically working, right? That's the theme of the show today. If why your marketing feels harder than it should. But if your marketing is technically working, and I'm going somewhere with this, but it still feels a little bit heavy to you, and this is something I encounter on a regular basis, right? People are sort of like, well, it's kind of working, but I'm not really sure if it's catching the right people, if we're targeting the right audience. And it's really exhausting, whether it's social media, whether it's podcasting. It just feels really exhausting. And I thought that it'd be really important to have this conversation out in the open with my audience, which is mostly entrepreneurs. And I think that's why this conversation today is going to matter, because at a certain stage in your marketing journey, your business journey, the problem doesn't necessarily always focus on reach, content, or maybe even the social media tactics you're doing. It's really something a little bit more upstream to me. And it's something that almost nobody wants to slow down long enough to talk about. So I'm sitting today with Kelly Shukdeck. Kelly runs 2 Mile High, not Mile High, 2 Mile High Marketing. And she's working with founders who are doing a lot of the right things, like we talked about at the outset, but they still feel like their marketing is harder and a little bit noisier than it should be. So I wanted to have this conversation with Kelly because she's in the weeds all the time with people like us, you listeners right now, we're all entrepreneurs, founders. And she's seeing a lot of the patterns that a lot of people might miss because she's sitting close to the ground in this sandbox every single day. So, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think we often know what's working and what's not working, but we don't take the time to reflect on it and to really make intentional decisions about our marketing. We feel like we need to be doing all of the things, right? Mm. And so we do all the things. And like you said, it's exhausting. But I think a lot of times we do a workshop where we help people create their marketing plan. And a lot of times it's coming from their own heads. Like we're just helping them get it out of their heads. And then we help them make those decisions around what to maybe do more of, what to double down on, and what to stop doing. And I think that time for reflection is really important.
What does that actually mean? Because it, on the surface, it sounds a bit existential. What does reflecting and being intentional about your marketing actually mean to you?
So for years, I was a marketing director before I started my agency. And with my team, every year we did this one activity that I then turned into a workshop that we now offer with my agency. That activity, so there's several activities that we do, but one of them that I find the most useful, we go through 4 questions and we spend this time not trying to solve any problem, just talking through these 4 questions, right? So what's working, right? Like what's working in what we're doing? What's not working? Sometimes just asking yourself that question makes you realize, oh yeah, we're going out and speaking, but it's not the right audience. Or we're you know, we have this lead magnet, not getting any downloads or whatever that is, right? So what's not working? What are we doing that could be improved? So sometimes like we're doing things, but we know we're not doing it very well. Maybe we're putting out content on LinkedIn, but we know that we're not doing it consistently, or we're not doing it. We're not getting much engagement, right? We know we should be doing it, but we're not seeing the results. So what are those things that we could optimize? And then what are those things that we're not doing that we'd like to explore? And so sometimes that could be like really big, like moonshot ideas. Like I want to be at a TED talk, right? Or it could be just things like, I've always thought that if I had a podcast that might bring in business, you know?
Or I want to be a guest on the Branding Laboratory.
Yeah. So those four questions, again, we carve out this time to just talk about these things, right? And if you have a team, it's really important to get everyone's perspective, because you might think something is working and it's not. Or you might think something is, you know, is, I don't know, not worth the time, whatever. And somebody's really interested in it, whatever. Just hearing from different team members and just, again, not trying to solve a problem, but just getting it all out of everyone's head. We usually then take a couple of weeks to just sit back and not do anything with that information. Just now we've all gotten it out. Like if I've heard from people on the team, I might start thinking about maybe we should do that differently. Maybe we should try this thing. Maybe, you know, then we come back and we develop a plan after we've had some time to sit with it. And that is that reflection time. We do it annually, and I encourage anyone that if you're not doing that, you know, December, January are great times to do that, but you could do it any time of the year, just to take time to reflect and to, you know, to think about those things.
Not everybody has access to a team, and it's just oftentimes a lonely echo chamber. So those four questions can still be asked, but you said, you know, get feedback. So obviously, not everybody has the budget to hire a marketing director or a marketing team or an agency like yourself or work with someone like myself. So what are some things that entrepreneurs, founders, especially those who are in the early stages of their business, could do with those four questions, which are what's working, what's not working, what are we doing now that can be improved, and what are we doing now, what are we not doing right now? So what are some ways that people could collaborate and get feedback on that?
If you are a solopreneur or, you know, just a smaller business without a marketing team, you can still ask those four questions. And a lot of times it is in your head. So it is just like setting aside maybe an hour, 90 minutes where you're asking yourself those questions. Maybe you're journaling through it. Maybe you're, you know, whatever, but really taking that seriously and spending some time thinking about those things. Before I had a team in my agency, like I still would spend that time reflecting on those things because I knew, I was spending time doing things that feel busy and feel productive. But then I could look at the numbers and go, is that really working? Mm-hmm. Now, marketing, as you know, it's not always easy to measure everything. Sometimes it's more of a gut feeling of what's working or not working, you know, but you often know that somewhere in your mind or heart, you know, your gut. And so, yeah, just even if you're a team of one, just taking that time to think through those things. And then I have kind of a very simple marketing plan template that I do a talk on, right? For small companies, small businesses, you think like a marketing plan is this big comprehensive thing that, you know, it's the dozens of pages that some agency puts together for you with all of this detail. It can be that, but it can be as simple as what are the goals or what is the goal? What are the tactics we're going to take and what are the things that we're going to measure? So you might have two or three primary goals, two or three tactics that you're going to take when it comes to marketing. And then how are you going to measure those things? And just monthly looking at those numbers.
I like that. I like to reframe that a little bit. One of the things that I encourage anybody who I work with is sort of, you talked about what are your goals or what is it you want to accomplish, but how do we close the gap in smaller tasks in between that goal? So if it's a revenue goal, if it's a client acquisition goal, whatever it is, sometimes those are a bit lofty, right? And so it's not an original idea, but it's really important when you put this on paper, if you have an objective that you want to accomplish in 2026, whatever that may be, what are the smaller little pieces that are eventually going to tabulate up to get to that? And rather than focusing on this big goal, know that it's out there. How do we focus on accomplishing the smaller little chunks in between? And then slowly over time, we close that gap. So I liked how you said that and how we framed that. In terms of your clients, what stage are most of the people that you work with currently in when they come to you?
So we have worked with, we have a client who's a solopreneur who came to us. He was in his first year of business, but he was like, I need help, you know, knowing what to do to grow my business. And so we did a workshop with him. And one of the things we determined for him was, you need a course. Like, you need a course because you only have so much time and you're going to max out. You know, you have 7 clients and that's all you can do, right? But if you have this course, you can reach more people and then you can serve those people through your course and then upsell them on the coaching that you do, right? So that's one example. Our largest client is a $15 million business where they have marketing people. They have a CMO, right? But they needed help with, we need exposure. We need to get out there. And, you know, our core leadership team needs to be going out and speaking. And we need, we just need help getting those events, right? Like, our team is not specialized in that. We're not going to spend the time regularly to be putting in applications for speaking and doing those things. So they hired us to do that. So all over the place, but I would say for we are the best fit is when they're anywhere from like 2 million to 10 million, that range where it's like they're established and they know they need to be doing things with marketing, but they're maybe not, they don't have their marketing systemized where they are really, where they really have a marketing funnel and are doing the activities they need to be doing on a regular basis.
Are you industry agnostic or do you focus on a very specific type of business?
I would say, so the majority of our clients are marketing agencies.
A marketing agency working with marketing agencies. That's ironic. I mean, that says a lot about you.
Yeah. You know, most ironic one is we just did a workshop this week with a 25%. I don't know how many people they have on their team. Might be 25, but they have been in business for 25 years. So a marketing agency that has been in business for over 25 years, and they came to us going, can you help us figure out our marketing plan?
I don't actually find that to be that ironic. I think a lot of times companies that have been in the weeds or been playing for a lengthy amount of time, they sort of become comfortable. And one of the things I've observed in that as pattern, I'm really good at pattern recognition, is that older companies don't often spend time to reflect, like you talked about, what has evolved in our business, what has evolved in the market, what has evolved in the clients that we're working with, and are we keeping up to pace with that? So it's interesting that you said that. I don't actually find it that ironic at all. So
if not, because the cobbler's children have those shoes, right? Yeah. All of us are guilty of that. It's like we know what we should be doing, but we need somebody else to help us
100%.
Create the plan and hold us accountable, right?
Present company included. I have a business coach. I work with a group of mentors on a regular basis. Yep. I have a stable of people that I reach out to on a regular basis just to get some general counsel and a fresh set of eyes on something that I'm so often so focused on the outcome or the situation that I fail to kind of step outside my own zone of genius and look at it from a fresh set of eyes. What I find it interesting, what do these people usually think that they need help with? And then once you get into sort of the discovery phase with them, you realize it's something altogether different.
I don't know if it's altogether different. I think that a lot of times, in fact, I just did a LinkedIn post on this, I think yesterday, that I ask them at the beginning of a workshop, what are your intentions? What do you want to get out of this? Right. And it's usually clarity, accountability, they like tactical application. Like they know what they need. We all get busy in the day to day, right? Like we're just all, I mean, myself included, like you just said, you know, we're doing all the things and it's hard to like remember to do the things we know we need to do. So a lot of times they'll come to us. I'm pretty clear when we do, when I do a consultation call with folks that I'm biased in when it comes to inbound marketing. Like I am going to create a plan for you that is inbound in nature, right? Like I'm not going to, it's very rare that I'm going to recommend pay-per-click advertising or outbound email or things like that because it's not what I specialize in, right? So those tactics might work for people, but they usually know before we even get to the workshop table that I'm not going to recommend things that are outside of kind of the scope of what we do.
I think a lot of times and we'll just use marketing for an example, because I'll have companies who will come to me for marketing, and they'll think they have a marketing problem, and they may or may not have a marketing problem. But when I really dive into it, what I see a lot of founders saying is that marketing just isn't clicking anymore, when in reality, they're doing everything they possibly could or should be doing. Content, you said funnels, they're doing advertising, they're doing offers. But what really, and you said something a second ago that really resonated with me, is they don't actually have clarity on what the objective is they're trying to accomplish and the messaging that they're trying to portray.
Yes.
And so their marketing is just sort of like throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall. And so one of the things I say before we even get into the marketing space, before, and I'm not a marketing company, I generally hand this off to someone else, but from the branding point of view, the messaging, let's go back to the source code here. Your messaging is off. You're throwing noodles at the wall. Some of them are sticking. Most of them are falling because there's a lot of buyer confusion on what you actually do. And so I'm wondering, when people come to you for marketing, do you have a process where you have to take a step back and say, before we even get to the advertising and the amplification, let's talk a little bit about what we're actually selling and the value that we offer to the world?
Yes, 100%. I think that's a great clarification point there. We worked with an accounting firm recently, a virtual CFO firm, that we did the workshop. We came up with the marketing plan for them, all of that. We started doing work for them. And then, you know, we started really looking at their website going, what do you want people to think you do? Because your website does not say what you do, right? And so then we had to kind of, we had to take a step back and go, okay, so here's the things that we told you to do when it comes to marketing, as far as content and, you know, getting out there, building awareness for your business. But when we build awareness and somebody comes to your website, that also needs to support the things that we're doing, because it wasn't clear at all. So we did kind of a rebrand of the website. Rebrand is probably not the right word, but reframing of, you know, the messaging on the website and looking at it from a user, a random user perspective, right? So if somebody lands on this website, what do we want them to be doing? And what do we want them to get from this, right? And so yes, that is 100% true. I would say the agency that I mentioned that had been in business for 25 years also said in the workshop, they were like, we know our website, like we build websites for people, but we know our website needs some work, right? Like, so also same kind of thing. If people come onto this website, what do you do? How do they perceive you? And that's really also important. So I think they often come to us like that. Like they know they need to be doing things when it comes to marketing. They want to bring in more leads. This is where I thought you were going, because this is the other thing that comes up. We need more leads. We need more leads. We need more leads, right? Yes, you do. However, what you're really saying is we want sales. Marketing is not sales, right? Those are two different things. And marketing can lead to sales, but sometimes, the reason that I developed that very simple marketing plan where we start with the goals and then we talk about the tactics and the measure, what we're going to measure, is that CEOs are often looking at that goal. Like they're looking at, we want this revenue goal, we want this number of sales. But when you're working with a marketing team, they don't necessarily, CEOs don't want to hear this, but your marketing team doesn't care about that goal. They care, like the team members who are doing work, like developing content and running your social media or sending out your emails, they don't necessarily tie the things that they're doing to that goal number, right? So a marketing director or a CMO or whoever is in that role needs to help break it down so that the team understands how their individual roles play into that overall number. And that's why you want to like have those broken down measurement pieces.
Well, you said marketing isn't sales. What you're describing there is more operational oversight for me. But I also would like to add to your little equation, marketing doesn't equal sales, is that marketing doesn't equal sales and neither of them equal branding. And I'm going to just plug myself for a second and what we do, not as a infomercial, but it's really kind of critical to understand this. And we started out at the outset of this conversation, you talked about perception. Perception is reality. And if your website and your social media or how you answer the phone or whatever it is a confusing and just completely didactic form of messaging, your customer is going to be confused really quickly. And if they're confused, that client perception that you touched on, they're not going to actually know what you're selling and there's not going to be any resonant factor. So going back to that equation, you said marketing doesn't equal sales. neither of them equal branding. Do you agree or disagree with me that before you even get to the marketing, before you can even get to the sell, before you can even get to the point of actually sharing the message with your audience, you have to get that messaging down? And that's one of the things I see most common, especially in early businesses, is that they go straight into the marketing, they go straight into the advertising, they go straight into the social media, and then they wonder why it falls flat because they have no core central message. They have no consistency in what they're sharing. And people are like, I don't really know what you do, bro. Are you selling this? Are you selling that? Like, what is it you want me to buy? I'm ready to give you my money. You seem kind of cool, but I don't have the slightest fucking idea what you're actually selling to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Do you agree with that?
For small businesses, I call that your authority X factor. Mm. Understanding what makes you unique in the space, right? So, if you're a solopreneur, you're providing a service, but you're like, I can do this and I can do that. This is my thing about fractional service providers is I purposely did not want to go to market as a fractional service provider. Because that's general. It's like, I can help everyone with marketing, right? But why should I hire you as a fractional service provider versus this person or that person? There's hundreds of them out there, right? So that comes down to your messaging. It's how you show up in the personal brand that you're developing online, that you're talking about what you do and how you help people. You need to be, even though you can do all the things, you need to be very clear and very specific and not say too many things because you're going to, like you said, overwhelm people with information that isn't going to help them make a decision. You want to make it as easy as possible for them to see what you do, get a snapshot of that, and want to hire you.
Well said. And I have to tell you, I think a lot of times experts are ashamed to say they need advice or they need counsel or they need to hire a coach because they're like, I'm supposed to be an expert in this. But in reality, if you stop and reflect, like you've asked at the beginning of the outset of the show, you realize that there's nothing to be ashamed of. Like, the greatest leaders on the planet have leaders guiding them. And so if you're an entrepreneur and you may or may not be really good at what you do, there's no shame in reaching out for help because there's always going to be a different perspective and your customers are going to have unique perspectives on everything. So it's really important to sort of get a fresh set of eyes on whatever you're doing on a regular basis so that you can understand what your client's perception is, right? And so I had somebody send me a note the other day about this, and it really kind of like, it just hemmed and hawed on it for a while because they're like, I'm a coach, I'm a business coach. And so I'm ashamed to say that I actually need a coach of my own. And I was like, why are you ashamed that you need a coach? That's actually really great self-awareness to know that you may not have the answers to everything. And there might be somebody out there that has a different perspective that could help you become a better version of yourself. So back to you, why should someone hire you and your agency? What's your zone of genius? When somebody you work with finally gets it right, when marketing starts to feel lighter and it's starting to have the impact that you executed for them, what does that actually look like? What has changed for them?
I think that it's that clarity piece that what I do best is help people understand. I'm not a brand expert like you, right? But I help them understand their personal brand and how they're putting themselves out there and how to position themselves to accomplish those goals that they have. So I work with those business owners who are thought leaders, who want to position themselves in ways so people see them as that authority and that expert, right? A lot of times they are the expert. They just don't know how to show up online to help people see that. And so my zone of genius is helping them get from that stuck place to being positioned as the expert in their industry.
There's a lot of people who are really good at what they do, but they don't know how to actually share that message with the audience that they're trying to connect with. And 9 times out of 10, it's not really a skills problem. It's really just kind of going back and doing some reflective work on how do you want to show up in the world? How do you want people to receive the information, your zone of genius, your expertise, whatever it is? And then let's craft a strategic messaging program in order to deliver that so you're talking to the right person and saying the right things, and most importantly, being very consistent about it. And you talked about that's positioning, right? I don't think that's a word that doesn't really get used a lot in the bandwidth of marketing and sales and marketing. I don't think a lot of people really talk about the positioning model. Could you sort of explain it from your point of view? Like, what is positioning? Yeah. How important is it for especially a small business to understand this core concept? And then what are some ways they can really start to position themselves in a marketplace that in most ways today is really oversaturated in a lot of different areas? So it's really important that you understand who you are, what you do, and how you position yourself for the right audience. So tell me your take on that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the story of someone I worked with in the past. So John, I tell this story often. I love that, like, just how this came together. So John came to me, had been an accountant in his firm for 30 years. He knew accounting, right? Like, he knew his stuff. But he was like a heads down behind the scenes accountant. Like, who knew who this person was, right? He was 60 years old. He had 5 years left in his firm. He knew he had to retire at 65 because the partners in the firm have to retire at 65. So he came to me and he's like, I want to be the person who builds out the virtual CFO service line in my firm for law firms. Hmm. He knew accounting. He knew the virtual CFO.
Very specific.
Very specific. Yeah. They were growing this virtual CFO arm specifically in the firm. But he was like, I love working with law firms, and I want to, like, basically, I want this to be the legacy that I leave behind in the company. I've got 5 years left. Can you help me do this? So John was already 100% the expert. I was not helping him become the expert. He already was. He knew accounting. He knew law firm. He knew the financial side of all of that, right? But what I did was I came in and I helped him optimize his LinkedIn profile. I started applying for speaking events for him and for networking events, having him go to conferences where law firm people were, right? Law firm owners and lawyers were. I helped him get podcast interviews that were specifically for law firm. And then my team helped him write a book. So after a year and a half of working with John, he came to me and he's like, Kelly, I just went to this event and people were coming up to me going, you're the guy with the book. Right. Mm-hmm. Because they were starting to recognize him as that, because we had positioned him in that space. Right. He already was the expert. He just needed somebody to help him build up that platform so that people were seeing him as that.
What I love about what you just said is that you're not just throwing tactics at people. Right. You're taking the time to listen first and foremost, which is a really underused skill these days. I feel like everybody. I'm sorry, I'm putting myself in this category. Sometimes we just want to talk. It's like we're already anticipating what we're going to say next before, while the other person is talking rather than just listening, right? So, but what I love about what you just said is that you're listening, you're taking notes, whether it's mental or strategic, and you're putting tactics in place that are actually going to affect, and you said legacy, but have long-term impact. And, you know, so the proof is in the pudding right there. So in terms of running a business and being an entrepreneur and being a founder and the responsibility that you have, and there's a lot of responsibility you're carrying, you're helping other people build something. And I don't take that very lightly because I'm doing the same thing. It's a big burden sometimes that you're carrying and shouldering. I guess, what's your take on being an entrepreneur and how do you manage handling and working with and helping other people grow their business? And at the same time, stay humble about it, build your own business, all the different things that it takes to be a, I'm assuming you have a family, you have children, you have dogs. I know that. How do you manage all those things as a founder and yet still remain tried and true to the people you're working with?
I say that I'm an accidental entrepreneur because I call it the person behind the person, right? I was the person behind a CEO, two different CEOs for 20 years of my career. Mm. And I never saw myself as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, ever. But when my company was acquired and I lost my job, I decided I'm going to do this myself this time, right? And so instead of being that person helping somebody else accomplish their goals, I became the person helping multiple people accomplish their goals, but also accomplishing my own at the same time. And I could stay pretty humble about that because I'm still pretty new. I'm still, you know, I'm in my second year of business and we grew very fast the first year. But, you know, now I'm in that place of like, okay, I'm still learning every day as I go. I've learned a lot of lessons growing fast in the first year. I think I feel like I took 3 years it was like 3 years and 1 year, everything I went through. And now I'm like, okay, the stability is my next kind of goal, is just really creating a business environment that is stable, right? That first couple of years, as any entrepreneur knows, it's a little scary, right? And so I think that keeps me pretty humble. But, you know, I think that I finally had like my first moment this last week where I was like, you know, for a long time, I was like, am I doing the right thing? Like, should I work for somebody else or should I be doing this? Right. And I finally had that first moment of, wow, I am so glad I am the person who gets to call the shot and that I get to decide who I want to work with. And I have that control. I don't have a boss over me telling me what I'm going to do and, you know, and controlling my time and you know, my workflow. And I get to decide that. And I feel like I had that first celebratory moment just recently. So I'm still pretty new in all of it, but we've had some really great success this first year.
What's your favorite thing about being a founder, a business owner, entrepreneur?
One of the things that somebody said to me when I first was deciding what I was going to do was, you don't want to build a team because then you have to like worry about hiring people and bringing in enough business to keep people on the team, and you have to lay people off and all that. And that was the moment that I said to myself, nope. I absolutely want to build a team because I love having a team. I never wanted to be doing this by myself. And this week we had, my team is virtual. So we're in the US, Canada, and the Philippines. And we had our team meeting this week. And it was like, again, one of those first times where I just was like, I love this. Like, I love building a team. I love having people that are just, you know, we are bonding and getting to know each other and wanting to serve our clients. We had a time of in our meeting where we shouted out some of our wins with our clients. And it, to me, that is energizing and exciting and keeps me going. Like, I love that about what I do. Some people choose the solopreneur route because that's what they want and that's fine for them. But that is absolutely not what I wanted. And I love that aspect of what I'm doing right now and not having someone else tell me how to run my meetings or how, you know, how I should be dealing with team members. I get to decide that and I get to treat people the way that I want to treat them. And that to me is the best part.
And what's your least favorite aspect of running a business?
Cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps me up at night. You know, I mean, we're doing great, but like, you know, I've never had to worry about that before. Being an employee, that's the biggest thing. Like, I've always been a leader in my career. I've always developed teams and, you know, so, you know, that part is not new to me. But what's new to me is going, are we going to be able to make payroll next week?
I have a fun analogy of running a business versus working for a corporation. I'm a lifelong athlete. I played football in college. And then my junior year, I got hurt. And so I had to stop playing football. And so I picked up a new sport and it was solo boxing. And I was by myself in a ring. And before, I had a whole team to support me. So any flaws or mistakes that I made, and I'm sure I made many, they were usually covered up or could be hidden unless the coach was watching film afterwards. But when I was in the boxing ring, because someone asked me a similar question to this, when I was in the boxing ring, it was just me and my opponent. And that's all there was to it. And sometimes as a founder, as an entrepreneur, I sort of feel that way. Like, I'm in a boxing ring and like literally everything you're personally responsible for, cash flow, whether your business succeeds or fails, how do you do social media, all the different pieces, all of it is on you in that ring all by yourself. And you don't have the whole football team, 11 other players, 22 other players to hide behind. So it's interesting that you say that. Is there anything you would change about what you've done in the last 2 years looking back so far?
The one thing I realized is that I trust people probably more than I should. And I've been taken advantage of a few times by team members that I brought on. And I learned the lesson the hard way that I really want to hire slowly and really be cautious about who we bring on our team. I want to build a team that feels, again, stable, like, and that the team members feel good about who they're working with. And I just want the team to be really strong. And in order to get to build a stronger team, we need to be very careful and selective about who we bring on. That was something I think that coming in, I was like, we just hire people and they do the work and everything works out great. And then I learned, oh, it doesn't always work that way. So that's one thing I am committing to myself to be more careful about going forward.
If you're interested, I can connect you with somebody here in Charlotte who actually does the vetting for teams like this. He doesn't call it HR or recruiting or that nature. What he does is people finding and finding the right people for the right businesses. And this can be in the form of contract labor. It can be in the form of salaried employees, that sort of stuff. But what he does is he goes out, he does sort of an onboarding with you to figure out who you're looking for, what's the void that you're trying to fill, and the personality matchup of the type of people you want to hire. And then he goes out and finds them for you. And then, so if you're interested in connecting with him, I mean, he's a really cool dude and does a really good job at what he does. I can connect the two of you.
Yeah, all right, that'd be great.
Well, these are the kind of conversations that that are sort of hard to finish publicly, Kelly. So if there's anything we can do offline to continue this conversation, I would love to have that. It's why I started the Lab podcast in the first place, is so that we can introduce people like yourself to my audience. I mean, there's how many founders, entrepreneurs on the planet now? It's the largest source of new business any time in the history that I'm aware of, where people are starting their own business. And so I started this show so that people like you could share your insights and wisdom and sort of help people get a leg up on whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. If you're listening and you want to connect with Kelly, her website is milehighmarketing.com. Did I get that correct?
Yeah.
So Kelly, thank you for being on the Lab. I appreciate how you showed up today. Any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I think this was a really great conversation. I feel like we talked about a lot of aspects of marketing that I don't always get into in podcast interviews. So I appreciate that. And I think that, you know, anyone who's looking for just clarity in marketing, going back to the beginning of that conversation, ask yourself those four questions. And if you really want to start this year off strong, that is a really great place to start.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you for being here. This is the Branding Laboratory. I'm Devo, your host. And thanks for the cool conversation today, Kelly.
Thanks, Devo.
All right. That's it for today, folks. Thank you. If this episode hit you, like it, subscribe it, leave a review. It helps a lot more than you think. And it helps the right people find this show and help us keep growing so we can continue to produce amazing episodes. You can find me at thebrandstoryteller.com if you're interested in connecting with me. And everything else about this episode, the guest, the websites, the social media handles, they are all linked below. I'll see you in the next show.